Welcome to the weekly Mission Red Bank podcast, helping the body of Christ build itself up together in love.
So here's a question. What would you literally give anything to experience? I want you to put that question in your mind. What would be so important it'd be worth any cost, even your life? Now, before you assume that I'm being a bit dramatic with this, please understand, and this is very true, that there are men and women and children all over the world sacrificing their dignity, losing their jobs, losing their place in their families, and too often even their own lives, because of the choice to follow Jesus and seek his kingdom above all things. The stories are amazing, terrifying sometimes, but the faith in them is extraordinary. So just know that when I say what would be worth even your own life, just know that people like us in other places really do carry that weight actively, okay? Today's gospel passage tells us why they're willing to stand in that place, to walk in that way. In it, Jesus continues to teach what God's kingdom's like, specifically for those who aren't really looking for it but stumble upon it. And then also for others who really are looking for something and find Jesus in the kingdom. In truth, Jesus is teaching for anyone from anywhere who will treat him in the kingdom of God as if they are the most valuable thing. Let's walk through it together. What Tim just read, I'm just going to recap quickly, I guess, as I go through, just to understand exactly what does that mean, okay? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. So he finds it, he buries it again, he goes and sells everything. Then goes back and buys the whole field, so now the treasure belongs to him. So this picture is meant to emphasize the astonishing value of a hidden treasure discovered. So astonishing that were you to stumble upon it, you'd gladly sell everything to acquire it. It's that obvious, that amazing. Jesus is teaching that this is what it's like when a person stumbles upon the wealth that is him and his kingdom. They weren't looking for it, but once they've stumbled upon it, they realize that it's everything they've ever wanted. And that brings such joy that they'll give up anything to get it. You get that? Okay. Then he gives this other picture. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, in this case, Jesus is speaking of a person with a different disposition. Unlike the person who stumbles upon the compares to admittedly, this person is really looking for it, compares to a merchant, right? They're looking for it so hard, their lives are actually given to the search. It's like a vocation for them. It's the main thing they do. And then once they find it, they know right away, this is it. This is the thing that I've been searching for and searching for and searching for and searching for, and this is it. And immediately, they do whatever is necessary to have it. Do you get that? Nod and help me. Good. I know these are familiar. These stories are so familiar from vacation Bible school, from Sunday school, from sermons you've heard in the past. But I feel like the weight of them needs to kind of set with us. The next thing Jesus does, in this fourth little saying that he has here, or teaching, he says the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea, gathered fish of every kind. And when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted out the good fish from the bad fish. And he said, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, Jesus is letting his followers know that the judgment of God will come. That there is a righteous judgment of God, and it will come. But it will only come fully, completely, in the very end of things. Until then, and this is, I think, where we are today, there will be people who love God and one another, and there will be people who don't love God and one another, living at the same time, in the same spaces, together. And both kinds of people will be in the world, in our lives, until the Lord returns. That is reality. Then, in the justice and the judgment of God, just like in the mercy and the kindness of God, there will be those of us who are saved by his grace. Those who have rejected that grace, he will sort them out. So the easiest way, I think, for us to applicably get our minds around that is, like I said, there will be those who love God and love others, and there will be those who don't. And those are the litmus tests of how the sorting will go, okay? And then lastly, he looks at his disciples and he says, have you understood all these things? And they apparently thought they had, because they said yes. And so he says to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, so a scribe is a teacher, somebody who understands the commands, what needs to happen, their understanding. So he's kind of attributing that to his followers. Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. So this picture is revealing something that's real important in Matthew's gospel. It's revealing how all who follow Jesus have this great wealth of old and new treasure. Now, the old treasure, these are things like the history of God's people, the covenants or the promises of God that were given to his people through his prophets, the law of God. In case in point, are specifically the Ten Commandments. These things have already been established in the people of God, and they are still a part of the lives of the people of God. The new treasure are Jesus, his kingdom coming and fulfilling all of the demands, all of the promises throughout history, making all who love and follow Jesus bringers of God's redemptive blessing to all people. He had told Abraham thousands of years earlier, I will bless you and through you will bless the nations. That's who the people of God are supposed to be. It actually was one of the things that had brought God's displeasure and judgment to the Jewish people, because they had interpreted so much of it to cluster together, shrink back, and hide the gift. And you become like us and you can have the gift. God was like, no. You be a part of the nations and give the gift. You are to be my redeeming people everywhere. You see the difference? Okay. So Matthew wants his readers to know something very important. This old and new treasure, he wants them, us, to know that they're not in competition. He wants us to know they're not pitted against one another, even though there were some in that day that very much wanted to cling to the law of God, the promises of God, the history of the people, while utterly rejecting Jesus. Just like There are many today who want Jesus and the goods that come with the kingdom and the presence and gift of the Spirit, but would neglect the law, neglect the harder promises, neglect that history. But the truth is, you can't have one without the other. Did you know that? You just can't. They're actually two parts of one great treasure, one redemption, the one life God's always intended for his followers. And that treasure, that redemptive, that the redemption, that life, Jesus is saying, is worth anything and everything. Whatever it costs, it's worth it. Not only just for you, but because of this missional call to be his redeeming people. You accepting that truth, embracing it, receiving it, persevering in it, gives it away to others. So Jesus is saying, this is the stuff, guys. This is really worth everything. And here's the reason, as I studied this week, I thought, we really need to hear this message, I think. Our culture, it teaches us that we can receive or accept as much of something as we're comfortable with, okay? Our Western culture especially values the rights of the individual to pick and choose and then be celebrated for their choices, right? This is us. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, Jesus never teaches that. Never once. Really, that is not the economy or the way of the kingdom. He teaches an absolute value of it and an absolute call. So he tells us, however you find yourselves face to face with me and the kingdom, whether you stumble upon me in the kingdom, or whether you're searching and you just haven't found it, and maybe you've been hurt, or maybe you've been disenfranchised or disgruntled, you're wounded, but then you do find me in the kingdom, just receive it. Receive it. It's not only good for you, it's good for all the loved ones closest to you. Even if they don't receive it right then, it's still right and good. Jesus teaches us that we must literally give up anything and everything to have him and his kingdom. Half measures, they don't work here. You see, it costs Jesus literally everything to give us the kingdom. So as his followers, we walk in step with him, and it costs us everything to receive it. So I guess the question is this: do you still want it? It's the treasure. It really is. It's the pearl. It's the fulfillment of the old commands now understood in the love of a saving king who personally knows, really gets how truly costly it is, because he paid that cost. So if it costs you your time, do you want it? If it costs you your money, do you want it? If it costs you your safety, your security, do you want it? And again, remember, I'm not being dramatic. It really does cost people these things. That cost extends to us too, here in the safe culture we live in. However it inconveniences you, do you want it? Regarding all of this, I want to read just a brief word from C.S. Lewis. We spoke about this pretty well, I think. Spoke about a lot of things pretty well, yes? We are hoping all the time that when all the demands have been met, the poor natural self will still have some chance and some time to get on with its own life and do what it likes. In fact, we are very much like an honest man paying taxes. He pays them all right, but he does hoping that there will be enough left over for him to live on. And he goes on to say, but Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think innocent, as well as the ones you think wicked, the whole outfit. Then he says this, I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become yours. So the question remains, do you want it? When I give the sacrament, you hear me say, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, but I typically don't stop there, do I? Do you recall what I say after? Receive the Lord. The reason I do that is to come and receive from Jesus' table, is to come in a posture of submission and surrender. It's coming and saying, I yield. I give up. I surrender. I give up everything, whatever it costs, to receive you in your kingdom. I come to receive you. Receive the Lord. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Receive the Lord. Actively make that how you live. So today, as we come to confession, before we come to the table, I want to humbly ask this. If you've ever come to Christ's table, I'm just specifying this place right now. If you've ever come to Christ's table without acknowledging that you're giving up everything to receive him in his kingdom, if that's not been your act of thought, here's what I want to give you good news. I humbly ask that you confess this to God. God will always forgive the honest confession offered to him and cleanse us from every unrighteousness. And then I want you to come to the table really knowing what you're doing. Surrendering everything you have to receive all that he gives. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Mission Red Bank podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Mission Red Bank or have questions about what you've heard today, you'll find us on Facebook. Grace and peace to you, and may God's blessings surround you.